All right, we promised you a great Vegas-related story, and we're about to deliver on that. And what we're taking in your best Vegas-related stories. Brad is in Vegas or heading to Vegas today. He's going to be there for the next 4 days to see Phish in concert, and so we've had just a variety of stories, many of them funny and involving some brushes with celebrities, and other, you know, running out of gas coming home or going out there, or just chaos in the casino, or some kind of funny thing happening in the hotel room, that kind of stuff. Now, this next one here is more serious in nature, much more serious in nature, but has quite an uplifting outcome. When Brad and I got this email, we were just like, wow. It came from listener Stuart. And Stuart has emailed us in the past over the years, and always good to see his stuff come in. But this story here, and we have, this involves Stuart's son. And Stuart's son is on the phone, and we'll pick up the story here. But Stuart says, hey, Brad and John, my son was in the mass shooting in Las Vegas in 2017 at the country concert. Remember that event? It was, I believe there were 60 people died and over 400 were wounded. When the shooting started, he grabbed the hand of a stranger and they ran away in a hail of bullets. And then the story has an uplifting outcome from there. But let's say hi to Joel, who is Stuart's son, who is in his truck right now in Arizona, listening in. And good morning, Joel. Thanks for talking with us this morning.
Good morning. Yeah, no problem at all.
So this is 2017, and it's the big country music concert. It's outdoors, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, it was right across from Mandalay Bay, Luxor area, right in there.
And there's only, thousands of people there, right?
21,000. Was the final outcome. Yeah, 21,000 people.
21,000 people. You are there, and this is was this in the middle of the concert? Was this during a break? I forget.
Just to pick up a story. Me and my buddy from we both grew up in British Columbia, just across the border from you guys there, and we flew down to go to this country festival. It was on Sunday night, so the last night of the festival. The headliner had just started, so it was right around, I want to say like 9 p.m., 8, 9 p.m., somewhere around there. Me and my buddy were just standing there and noticed a group of girls off to the right, and we went over, started talking to them, introduced ourselves, told them who we were, where we were from. They introduced themselves, told them they were from Southern California. We were just standing there watching the concert together. All of a sudden, we hear a pop go off. No big deal. Nobody really reacted. Could just be like pyrotechnics, part of the show, fireworks. Not a big deal. And then we hear three pops go off, and everybody kind of just stopped. And me and my buddy looked at each other like, we got to go. Those were gunshots. So I grab this girl who I just met. I grab her hand, and I'm like, hey, those were gunshots. We got to go. I grab her hand with my right hand. Grab my buddy's hand with my left hand. She grabs her friend's hand, and the four of us just kind of make a human chain and start running towards the exit. And at that point, it was almost full automatic gunfire, just bullets ricocheting everywhere, people running, screaming, chaos. At one point, actually, the girl that hand I was holding, she fell down, and almost in like a movie-like setting, I turned around and I was like, picked her up, grabbed her, and was like, we got to go. And I started dragging her along. And so then the four of us, we ended up escaping out through one of the back entrances where the vendors brought in like the food and the beer and all that. And luckily, the buddy that I went with, his parents were staying there just to be in Vegas for the weekend. They were at Caesar's Palace. So we ran all the way to Caesar's Palace down from where the concert was. And we were able to make it in. And we just spent the rest of the night just watching the news and watching it all unfold. And the cop cars, we were watching the cop cars on CNN or Fox News or whatever.
Yeah.
From a helicopter view, and then looked out the window, and there they were all going down the Las Vegas Strip. So
where you were. So you ran, how far did you run before, I can't picture it on the strip, before you stopped running, before you got to Caesars? Is that a couple blocks?
I grew up pretty athletic, but I think that's the hardest I've ever ran in my life. I ran all the way from the Luxor to Caesar's Palace. in about 10, 15 minutes nonstop. So that was a mile, 2 miles maybe.
Yeah.
It was a long ways. So yeah, that was pretty crazy. But then the next morning we were both staying at the Luxor, us and the girls. And we ended up going and going to our rooms, getting our bags, SWAT teams everywhere and cops everywhere. We ended up going, and the girl put her number in my phone, and I was able to.
This is the girl who kind of fell down, and you had your hand on her,
yeah.
And you fell down, and you go back to get her, and you're pulling her to safety. So she gives you her number.
Yeah, so she gives me her number. We kind of say our goodbyes, and she goes back to California. I go back to Canada, and I think it was, that day I told my buddy, I was like, oh, yeah, she's from California. I'm never going to see her again. And I think it was the next day she ended up calling me. And we both were just kind of naturally after the incident going through some mental stuff and kind of trying to deal with everything that happened. So, we had our families, we had our friends there who were, of course, texting us, talking to us, trying to figure out, what happened, what was it like there. But nobody really understood or could understand what we went through in the stories because nobody was there. So, it was tough to talk to my parents or my friends about it because they, they weren't there. They weren't, all they knew was what the news was telling them.
Yeah.
And so I ended up talking on the phone with this girl for 3 hours the next night, just, dealing with what happened and helping each other through it. And we ended up making a habit of that and texting each other and calling each other. And then within the next couple weeks, that was mid-October, or it was October 1st was when the shooting happened. So that was, we talked through mid-October. And then I was like, I want to see you again. And I ended up booking a flight down to California. We spent the weekend, hanging out for Halloween and went to a Halloween party and did all this fun stuff together. And then a few weeks later, she's like, I want to see you again. And she ended up coming up to Canada. And, I guess from there on, that was just a habit. We were dating at that point. And we just every 3 or 4 weeks would fly back and forth to see each other. And then in early 2019, I think it was January or February, I flew down. We loaded up her car and she drove all the way up from San Diego to the Linden border crossing, essentially, and moved into an apartment there because being from separate countries, we couldn't live together legally. So she had she moved to an apartment in Linden, and where we were about 20 minutes, half an hour apart, just across the border, just to see each other. And then 6 months later, we were married.
Wow.
And filed for my paperwork to move to the U.S., and then that got approved in 2021. And now we are have been living in Arizona for the past 3 years together, own a home, and we are expecting our first child in August.
Wow! So. Congratulations! Holy cow!
Thank you. Yeah.
That whatever it was that you saw that night, I can only imagine you. There's only people who saw what you saw. Can you really talk to about that and that is just now, will you guys ever go back there? Will you ever return to Vegas?
We've been back to Vegas multiple times. We don't really like staying on that end of the strip down by Mandalay Bay. That kind of brings up some bad memories. We usually stay at the other end, but we have been back. She's got family there, so we're back pretty regularly. Yeah, it's still tough, though. I mean, like, there's concerts, crowds everywhere. It changes your whole demeanor of how you act in public. Just the first thing you do now is check and see where the exit is, just in case. It's just a terrifying experience. And now, even 7 years later, it still gets you, for sure.
Wow. Man, I bet you can picture and she can picture that moment, like it's just seared in your brain when she lost grip of you and you turned around and you pulled her back and you said, let's go, come on.
Oh, absolutely. And like the crazy part is, of course, like it's a concert. So we'd been drinking all day. She'd been drinking all day. Everybody was drinking all day. So it's like, in that moment, the last thing in a serious life-threatening moment, the last thing you want to do is be intoxicated. But we were trying to do that, and I remember vividly running, but it was still kind of a blur. But it sobered you up pretty quick.
Well, yeah,
still, like,
If that, yeah, doesn't, if that doesn't sober you up, I don't know what will.
No, exactly. So I do. I remember vividly just like the running and the craziness and the chaos and turning around and grabbing her and pulling her away. So
Joel and Remy, married with a child on the way. Congratulations to both of you. Thank you for sharing that story with us. And thanks to your dad, Stuart, too, for reaching out to us.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, Joel. Best to you and Remy. How about that?